Hello and welcome to the very first edition of the Daily Iowans Beyond the Buzzer podcast. My name is Adam Hensley.
And I'm Pete Rudin.
And this podcast is dedicated to all things Iowa basketball. We'll be recapping some games, giving analysis, injury updates, pretty much anything Iowa basketball related, we'll cover it. We do want to point out that if you have certain topics you want us to discuss or questions you want us to answer, tweet the hashtag Beyond the Buzzer with your question or tweet directly to the Daily Iowan at the Daily Iowan or at either Pete or I.
I am at PD Rudin.
And I'm at A_Hens83. Without further ado, let's get this show on the road. Well, in Iowa's 69-68 victory over Pittsburgh on Tuesday, Iowa was led by Jordan Bohannon and Joe Wieskamp. Wieskamp finished with 18 points, and Bohannon had 12. Pete, I know you wrote about that in your feature, but if you want to touch on that.
Wieskamp and Bohannon got started from three early and often. Jordan Bohannon started the game with, I think, 2 3-pointers in a row, and then added a third shortly after. And that whole first half was really just back and forth and back and forth with a lot of threes coming from both sides. And I think without both Hannon and Wieskamp, Iowa would have been done for because they couldn't do anything on the inside. Cook and Garza combined for just 14 points. Both were in single digits, which is extremely rare. And a big part of Iowa's game plan, Nicholas Bear said, was to go inside. And when they couldn't do that, they had to kick it out. And luckily for them, they were actually making the shots.
Yeah, you mentioned that first half there that they went off. And pretty much it was just Bohannon and Wieskamp scoring. They had 11 points apiece at halftime, so they had more than half of Iowa's point total in the first half. In that first half, Garza and Cook only took 5 shots together. And you got to factor in that 2 of those 5 shots were three-pointers. And Cook also had a step-back jump shot or just a pull-up jump shot. Obviously, not the shots that Iowa wants.
Early in the shot clock, too.
Yeah, those aren't shots that Iowa wants its forwards to be taking, or at least Cook and Garza. So credit to Pitt for really closing down those passing lanes into the paint. Because like Bear said, that was the plan early on. And we were both talking up in the press row just why isn't Iowa just feeding the ball more to these guys. I tweeted out, I was like, if I'm Iowa, second half, I feed the ball into Cook and Garza in the post and just keep pounding Pittsburgh with that, because it worked so well for Iowa, especially in the 2K Classic.
And Pitt's a guard-heavy team, too. Their top 5 leading scorers are all guards. And most of them were on the floor for an extended period of time, so there was really no reason for Iowa not to go inside. So that's why they were so lucky to have Wieskamp and Bohannon knocking down shots.
Yeah, and to add to that, especially the second half, Nicholas Bear went off. I think this is probably one of the best games we've seen out of him, or at least he's got those performances in the Hy-Vee Classic here and there, but Bear really came alive in the second half, and I think he played the best basketball I've seen from him in that second half against Pittsburgh on Tuesday. He had 14 of his 16 points in the second half, and there was a span where I think really kind of switched the tide for Iowa, where at the right around the nine-minute mark, Bear hits a three-pointer. He fouls one of the Pitt players, I forget who it was, on that ensuing Panther possession. Pittsburgh misses both its free throws. Iowa comes down. Bear pulls up, drains a three. Iowa's up by one.
Back to back.
Yeah. Carver was actually rocking at that point. And then you throw in later in the game with, I think it was like 57 seconds, something like that, Bear knocks down a pair of free throws that ended up being pretty crucial since Cook missed a pair when I was up by one with 10 seconds to go. That was something. I really think that if Pittsburgh hits a shot at the end of the game to win, the story is going to be on how Iowa did not make its free throws in the second half. And, I mean, both teams
couldn't make a thing from the line.
Yeah, it was, I think, Pittsburgh free throws. They went 5 of 10 in the second half. And meanwhile, Iowa was 9 of 15, so not a whole lot better. I was happened to get to the line a little bit more. But especially in that second half, we talked about defense. What did you see specifically out of Iowa's defense there in the second half?
In that first half, Xavier Johnson, the freshman pit guard, was getting anything he wanted. He was so quick and shifty, and he could just drive at will. Easy layups almost every possession, it seemed like. And Pitt actually outscored Iowa in the paint 34-14, which with Iowa's bigs is not expected or what you want if you're Fran McCaffrey. But Iowa stepped it up in the second half, only gave up 22 points after giving up 46 in the first. Those easy buckets that Pitt got in the first half weren't there. The improvement was just incredible.
Yeah, I think it might have been Bear after the game. When talking about the defense, he was like, well, Pittsburgh had 26 points in the paint in the first half, and in the second half, Pittsburgh as a team scored just 22 points total. So, and that goes back to even, like, Bohannon was hitting from three, but he had a career-high 6 steals tonight. And plays from him, I thought Kreener was solid defensively when he was in two. Obviously, you have Bears pretty solid defensively always. I think that last year, this is a game that Iowa loses at the end.
Yep.
This year it was, and Iowa wasn't hitting the shots it needed to as well. Like, those free throws at the end, but it was a thing where it was, Iowa did such a great job powering through adversity. And this has really been their first kind of game like this season, because the Oregon game was close. UConn, Iowa was up big fairly early on. They really hadn't had a game where they had to battle back from behind and went down to literally the last possession of the game.
Mm-hmm.
As far as injury updates go, Cordell Pemsl is not going to play the rest of this year.
Surgery to remove some hardware by his knee from a previous surgery from high school.
So Iowa's got an interesting situation now, because last year McCaffrey was playing 10, 12 guys a game. The Hawkeyes really had a log jam at forward with everybody that was in there. And, I mean, I get the idea of trying to get everybody minutes. But Pemsl's injury combined with Jack Nungy, him registering this year, which McCaffrey said after the game against Pittsburgh that redshirt is for sure.
Yep.
He's not taking that back. Like, he's not playing this year. Nope. Pemsl's out with injury. It really narrows down Iowa's entire rotation to really, like, 9 guys or so, especially the forwards. You have Cook, Garza, Bear, Kreener, and then...
And then McCaffrey said he is comfortable playing Riley Till there.
Yeah, and Riley Till, that's kind of interesting, because he really saw extended minutes in one of Iowa's biggest games of the year against Oregon. I believe he had three offensive rebounds.
Yeah,
he had 3 offensive boards in his time on the court. And
which wasn't a lot of time either. But
no.
He gave good minutes when he was out there.
Yeah, I said this during the game. I was like, this is big for Till, and the fact that, like, I was playing better when he's out there that night. But for the future, in case there were any injuries or people are in foul trouble, he's a guy that, like, has proven, like, he hasn't played a lot, but in his limited time this year, he's proven that he can be effective when he's on the court. And I think that gives McCaffrey at least some confidence to, like he said today, he can go, instead of playing a 9-man roster like he did tonight, he can go 10 deep with Riley Till, which I think is interesting.
I mean, I don't think that's always going to be necessary, though. Because,
oh, no.
Yeah. 9 is just fine. Like, the rotations they have right now, it's been working. I mean, I don't think you have to mess with it too much.
Yeah,
but
no.
I mean, if you're in a pinch and McCaffrey's comfortable playing Till, then I think that's an extra bonus.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a thing where we're going to see Riley Till come in as one of those first few guys subbed in. No. I think he comes in if the forwards are getting into foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Like if both Cook and Garza are in foul trouble early, and then he puts in McCaffrey goes with like Bear and Kreener, and they're getting gassed, or one of them gets into foul trouble, then I think that's a situation where you can see Riley Till come in.
And I don't think he's going to get extended minutes either. Like, it'll be like just pretty sporadic, I think. Just like maybe 3 or 4 here and there.
I think so too. And, I mean, Pemsel's injury, like, he's played in one game this year. It's the season opener. He didn't score a point. He had 2 rebounds.
2 turnovers.
2 turnovers. 2 fouls. I think he had an assist in there.
Not a great showing.
No, but there wasn't a whole lot of... No one really, I guess, knew the severity of Pemsel's injury because for the most part, it was he's day-to-day. He might play, but I think this is good that Iowa got this squared away. Obviously, it's bad for him that he got this injury, is having to have surgery, but I do believe from a the red shirt is not the worst thing that could happen to him.
No. I mean, I think I was deep enough to the point where he'll be fine at forward. I think Kreener gives solid minutes, especially defensively, and he has potential to get some buckets here and there on offense.
Yeah, Kreener's really interesting to me because he, I guess maybe not in the same ways as Nicholas Bear, but I think he can honestly be one of their bigger sparks off the bench. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the guys that came off the bench tonight, there are 4 guys. Maishi Daly, Nicholas Bear, Ryan Kreener, and Connor McCaffrey. All 4 of those guys have the potential to swing the game when they're in there.
Mm-hmm.
Daly's a great defender. Also on the perimeter, he can hit shots. Obviously, Bear, you saw against Pittsburgh on Thursday. Connor McCaffrey, you saw what he could do against Connecticut. With Kreener, though, I think he's similar to Bear in the way where he is always good for those hustle plays. And scrappy getting rebounds. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that is going to get in your face. I think there was a game last year where he got called for a hard foul when a guy was trying to dunk on him, and it was like, he said, I'm not getting dunked on.
Yeah, I always liked to call Kreener and Pemsel the bad boys of Iowa basketball, but now Pemsel's out. But that doesn't change Kreener's role, I don't think.
No, and I think... I'm really curious to see how he develops as the season goes on, because he's definitely going to get more minutes than he did last year. I was surprised against Pittsburgh. He only played about 8.5 minutes, 8 minutes, 27 seconds, to be precise. Didn't score a point.
Didn't take a shot.
No, yeah. Grabbed 1 rebound. So I think he did have 2 fouls, though, in the time he was in, so I can kind of understand the fact that he wasn't used a ton.
And 2 steals also adding on to his defensive ability.
Yeah. But regardless, Iowa comes away with a 1-point win in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And like we said, it was a step in the right direction, especially considering how last year went for Iowa with the defensive breakdowns and the inability to come through in crunch time. But I think it's worth noting that McCaffrey said after the game how it's one game at a time for them. But the Hawkeyes really have a gauntlet of a schedule coming up here. Wisconsin comes to Carver on Friday for the Big Ten opener. Then on December 3rd, Iowa travels to Michigan State. On December 6th, Iowa hosts Iowa State for the annual Cy-Hawk game. And then on December 15th, the Hawkeyes traveled to Des Moines for the Hy-Vee Classic, and they're facing UNI this year. I think these 4 games are, it's early in the season, so anything can happen, but I really think that if Iowa comes away like 500 in these games, if not better, like this is the portion of the season where this team is going to prove if it is legitimate or not. I think the Pittsburgh game was definitely a step in the right direction, but these next 4, these teams, I would say for sure Wisconsin, Michigan State, Iowa State, those are 3 teams that are definitely better than Pittsburgh.
Yep, and in a And this past season, the Hawkeyes had a similar stretch, and I think they went 0-4 during it.
Yeah.
And we all saw how that year went.
I mean, I think if that Wisconsin game, I think, could be honestly kind of like the football game when Iowa played Wisconsin. Like, that game is, like, Big Ten opener.
First Big Ten game.
Mm-hmm. That'll do a lot for Iowa's confidence. Iowa can get a win against Wisconsin on Friday, which I think is very, very possible. I mean, Iowa beat Wisconsin in Carver last year.
And Wisconsin is the team with one loss now. If we were talking at the end of last year that one of these teams would be undefeated and one would have a loss, I don't think we would be saying Iowa would be the undefeated team.
I agree 100% on that. That's an excellent point. Because I think, like I said, it's early, but this Hawkeye team has really kind of defied some expectations early on.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 2K Classic was a huge example of that, because I believe we talked before, and it was like, if Iowa can go 500, like, that's a huge step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I personally didn't think they had that great of a shot to win the whole tournament.
No, I thought they would lose to Oregon first, and then, honestly, probably lose again right after.
Yeah, to whoever was the loser of the...
UConn or Hughes.
Yeah, but instead, Iowa gets a win against a solid Oregon team, and really, so far, has been the team that's shut down Bol Bol this year, if you go back and look at it. And then that Connecticut game, I thought heading into the game against Pittsburgh, that game would be pretty helpful and beneficial for Iowa, just for the fact that Connecticut was a team that revolves very much around its guard play, and that was the same on Thursday, or on Tuesday, excuse me, against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and that's why this Wisconsin game is so different, too, because obviously Ethan Happ, all Big Ten player, averaging almost 18 points a game, over 12 rebounds, over 5 assists, he's trouble.
Yeah, Happ is a guy that can do a little bit of everything. Well, last year it was, I believe, Garza matched up with him primarily, but there were times when him and Cook were together.
And he played him well.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see how, I think you're going to see, a little bit of a different pace, and I really think against Wisconsin, even though Happ's a big man, he's one of the best in the conference, if not one of the best, I really think there's going to be a point of emphasis on Iowa's part to feed Cook and Garza. And if I'm Fran McCaffrey, I do that, because so far early this year, like Bear was 2 of 12 shooting three-pointers going into this game. I don't think that you can count on a game like the one he had against Pittsburgh every night. I don't think you should count on that. But I think you can count on is Cook and Garza doing work down low in the post.
And at the same time, I think you need your consistent scorers to show up, whether it's Wieskamp, whether it's Bohannon, and then Cook and Garza, like you said. Because if it's like Pitt and they can't get anything going inside, and Wisconsin's a bigger team than Pitt, and if Iowa can't get it going in the post just like they did against the Panthers, then they're going to need scoring from the outside.
Yeah. And Wisconsin typically is a pretty solid team defensively. If obviously you can't expect this every single game, but I think against UConn, we saw the potential of having Cook and Garza down low, with both those guys scoring in the 20s. And really it was Garza stretches the floor much better than Cook does.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a very consistent three-point shot. But then you have him who can stretch the floor. Then you've got Cook, who down low, I mean, granted it was a UConn, but like he proved time and time again he was too quick and too strong for the Huskies' big men, which if they can get that sort of 1-2 punch where it's they've got one of them stretching the floor, meaning both guys are going to not be double teamed, they'll have single coverage. I think if I'm Iowa and I'm getting single coverage on either of those bigs, I just want to work.
That's a dangerous attack.
Well, that is it for the very first episode of the Daily Iowans Beyond the Buzzer podcast.
Be sure to tweet your questions or topics you want covered using the hashtag #BeyondTheBuzzer or tweeting directly at the Daily Iowan, at PD Rudin, or at A_Hens83.